Today's podcast is about following up on assignments. When we give an assignment to a client or a family at a session, the first thing we do in the very next session is to determine what happened. So we ask them lots of questions and listen carefully and track to see what happened. This is really important because, of course, our purpose in giving the assignments is to expand our effectiveness and create change in the client's natural environment.
And as Jim said, we use the counseling techniques of listening, questioning, and tracking, always within the collaborative process that's been established.
We're going to do a role play following up on assignment, but first I'd like to tell you about the situation that we'll be role playing. Jake was nearly 3 years old, and he lived with his mother and father and baby sister. Jake's mother's concern was that he didn't say words, and she believed that he could say words if he wanted to, but that he was just too stubborn to talk.
And what did his dad think?
His dad thought that Jake was just fine as he is, and that he's not yet four when he thinks that he'll talk, because his dad's uncle didn't talk until he was four, and then he said he talked like everybody else. And so when Jake gets to be four, he believed that he'll be fine.
And
he'll talk.
And you, Jim, as the speech-language clinician at this home visit, what did you think?
Well, I first wanted to learn about their concerns, and so I listened to his mother, and her reaction to Jake was to ask him lots of questions that she knew the answers to, and to say words and ask Jake to repeat them. His response to this was to run or walk away and hide, so to speak, under the dining room table. This proved, according to his mother, her belief that he was stubborn. His dad's reaction was to do nothing. He didn't worry about Jake at all. As I looked at books with Jake, though, it seemed like he was making some small efforts to say words, but no sound came out. Until his mother brought over an alphabet book, and she opened it to the letter T, and Jake, loud and clear, said, T. And his mother said, this is the only thing that he'll say. Also, Jake and I were looking at books. He made a squeaking sound, and his mother looked over at the baby on the blanket. And I asked her how she knew that squeak meant that the baby was off the blanket. And she said, well, he uses that sound for little things. And he has other things, he tells us about, too. She said, tell him what you do when you're hungry, Luke. And Luke opened, dropped his jaw and said, like that. Tell him how you were sick last week. And Jake went and raised his fingers repeatedly in an upward direction by his chest, indicating that he threw up. This was impressive to me. I thought, this doesn't look like a boy who's stubborn. I started to think about him as maybe having developmental apraxia or a speech apraxia of childhood. And I thought, if he's has to practice, if he has apraxia, so I thought we should work on the stubborn part first. Because now we had three ideas. There was Jake was too stubborn to talk and wouldn't. He won't. He had developmental apraxia and couldn't, and he was not ready yet. He would talk when he was four.
So after this session and learning about the family and thinking about what was important to them and what you thought might be the difficulty, you gave an assignment. And what was that assignment?
Well, the assignment had two parts. One was an intervention assignment, and the other was a noticing assignment. The intervention assignment was that the mother should make every effort to refrain from asking Jake to say words and not to ask him questions that the answer to which she already knew. So those things she was going to try to do. And the other part was the noticing assignment, to pay attention to Jake's ability to creatively communicate with her, such as the gestures and sounds that he was making, and maybe she'd even find that he made more.
Now, in the process of this treatment, the mother actually followed through very well on both of those assignments, but today we're going to role play a possibility where it was more difficult for the parent to follow through, to give you an idea of how you probe and try to understand what was challenging about the assignment. And I'll be the mom.
And I'll be myself.
Okay.
So, Mary is Jake's mother. Well, what happened this week when you tried to not ask Jake any questions and to not ask him to say words?
That was really impossible. I don't know. I just wouldn't be talking. I wouldn't be doing anything at all with him if I don't do that. So I just couldn't do that.
Yeah, so it was pretty hard.
Really difficult. I couldn't remember to do it because it's not normal for me.
Could you think of one time when maybe you did it just a little bit?
Well, there was only one time when I did remember, and that's when I was reading a book to him or looking at a book with him, and so I would read that page and then just be silent. So I was silent and he was silent, and then turn the page and go on. It seemed kind of weird.
Okay, so you were looking at the book with Jake, and he was next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't ask him any questions or ask him to repeat any words. You just talked about what you saw.
Yeah, I just read the story.
You read the story to Jake. And what was his response to that?
Well, he was fine. He liked it. I mean, he always likes to hear stories. And actually, he didn't get upset and, you know, kind of kick and walk away like he sometimes does when I ask him to say a word. He just sat there beside me as we finished the story.
So he stuck with it and stayed with you. And he didn't run away or hide under the table or anything?
No, he didn't do that.
Okay. And
but he didn't say any words.
He didn't say any words, though.
No,
right.
Not a one.
That's
not
what
one.
We want him to do.
Yeah.
What about the other one? Did you notice any... what did you notice when you tried to pay attention to Jake's ability to communicate?
Well, I actually noticed quite a few things. I think he's been doing these things all along, but I haven't paid any attention because otherwise I guess I wouldn't be caring for him as I do, but I thought of a couple things I noticed. One is that when he wanted to go outside, he'd go over and bang on the door. Jake would bang on the door, and so he did that, and I knew he wanted to go outside.
Mm-hmm. What did you do then when he did that?
Well, depended. You know, if the baby was sleeping, I'd say, well, we can't go out now, Jake, because your sister's sleeping, but if she was awake and the weather was nice, we'd go outside for a while.
Mm-hmm. So that was what he was telling you?
Oh, yeah. He makes it really clear when he wants to go outside.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the other thing I noticed is that he does a lot of pointing to what he wants. If he wants something from the refrigerator or food or a specific toy or just about anything, he'll point to it. And I hadn't really noticed that before.
Uh-huh. Okay, and when he pointed to, let's think of an example. He pointed to...
Well, to the refrigerator, so I figure there's something in there he wants, so then I open the door, and then he points to what he wants.
And then what do you do?
Well, I give it to him if it's reasonable.
Okay, all right. So he has some creative ways of communicating with you, and you understand what he and his intentions pretty well.
Oh, he really does. Uh-huh. But he never said the word.
Yeah. That's what we want. That's what we're working toward. It sounds as though the suggestion to not ask questions and not say words is pretty difficult to do.
Really, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, well, he doesn't ask him any questions, so it wasn't an issue for me, but for him, but it sure was for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that maybe we could alter that a little bit to make it more doable for you. And what I'm thinking of is that as you look at the book, I know he has a lot of picture books, too.
He does.
Last time we were here, you were looking at one of those, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, as you look at the picture books especially, you talk about what you see rather than asking questions and asking him to say things, think about it as that you're talking about what you see. And then if you do ask a question, like what's this or what's that, answer it yourself. So I think I think I'd like to show you.
I don't quite get what you're saying here. So.
Okay, let me demonstrate with Luke.
All right.
Luke, let's get a book. I've got a book here. Come on over. Let's look at it. And so we'll just open it here, and oh, look what's here. A lot of animals in this page. I see a horse, and I see a cow, and here's a baby cow by the mother cow. And the baby cow is a calf. And what's this? Oh, this is a cat. It looks kind of like your cat, Luke. And over here, I see a camel. See his humps on his back. And he's brown. And I see, let's see, what else do I see? Here's a goat. A goat. So,
okay.
Does
so
that
it,
make sense?
It
to
does.
You?
And when you asked a question, it was almost as if you were asking it to yourself. And then you answered it.
Yeah, and okay. I was trying to, I just talked about what I was seeing on the page.
Well, that would. I would like to try that because at least there'll be some talking going on and not so much quiet.
Yeah, and I went kind of slowly and gave him a chance to think about it. And I know he knows these words, but you could also think of it as though you were teaching him these words by letting him hear them.
Oh, you think if he hears them, he'll start to say them?
Well, I think if he gets more willing to look at books, I think he'll start to say them.
Okay.
Say words.
All right. End of role play. There are a couple of things that one is tempted to do when a report of an assignment is being given. If the client or the family member says, it just didn't work at all, it's kind of tempting to say, oh, well, okay, let's try something else. We think that's generally not a good idea, that it's better to explore what didn't work, what did work. If this assignment should be discarded or if it can be altered a bit?
Yeah, it can give you ideas to how to alter the assignment
right.
to make it fit more closely with what the parent can do.
Or the other temptation is if someone said, oh, yeah, it worked perfectly. We did that every day.
Oh, good.
Let's try something new.
Yeah.
When instead what needs to be done is to explore what was happening during these times when the assignment was carried out, how the client responded, how the family member responded, how the speech language change was becoming embedded in the interactive patterns of the family.
And this is what we want to know, of course, because we want to be sure that there's some change starting to happen. Another thing that might happen is that they didn't do the assignment.
Right.
So when you ask them what happened, we ask that presuppositional question, what happened when you did the assignment, maybe they say they didn't do it.
And that's not their fault. That we usually think of that as, well, we didn't really make a very good match here, so let's work together now to find something that matches more closely what they're able to do and what needs to happen for speech.
And sometimes when you ask questions and listen, you find out that they liked the assignment, they thought they could do it, but they just had an unusually busy week and they just kind of forgot about it because of the things that happened in their family. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it might be that they did try it a little bit and they didn't like it at all, it didn't fit for what they do, and so then we would want to find that out and change it to something they could do.
Now, the important thing to remember about assignments is that this particular assignment was idiosyncratic to this family and to this child, and every assignment is. That's important. Also, it's important to remember that these evolve over time through a process of collaboration and refinement. So, Jim, let me ask you, how many sessions did you meet with Jake and his mom and dad and his baby sister?
Yeah, well, we started out meeting every week for 3 or 4 weeks. Then it seemed like things were starting to change a little bit, so we went to every other week. And then we eventually went to once a month. And we did this over the course of about a year.
And by then he was four?
He was four, and he was talking really well. He was, as his father said, talking like everybody else does at about that age. So he was really very close to age level in his speech. So I thought it would be a good idea, since he's turning four, to have them, all these were home visits, but have them come into the clinic and make a videotape of Jake talking, and let his dad point out to me, which he did, that Jake was four now, and what's he doing? He's talking, isn't he? That's what I said. So he was right.
Mom was right. He wasn't stubborn anymore.
And I guess I was the only one that was incorrect, the only wrong one, that either he had developmental apraxia and he outgrew it, or more likely that he didn't have a childhood apraxia of speech at all. But he was three and not talking, and so we did something about it.
And so by four he was talking.
By four he was talking very well.
All right, so this is the final in our series of podcasts. And what we would like you to remember is to use the counseling techniques throughout your speech-language treatment.
You listen, but you also ask questions and track and use amplification, all of which we've demonstrated in these podcasts.
And use your speech-language expertise to interface and connect in a collaborative way with what the client and family is already able to do and interested in doing.
Mm-hmm. So this can make a big difference if they help you at home. So this is the last of this series of podcasts.